kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am warm. The heat is turned up in the house because the living room is chilly, but my room is all toasty, and I kind of want to open a door and cool it off in here a bit.
Yeah, I'm hoarding the heater at the moment. I have all the other doors closed. Dee's in the room with the dogs. The girls are in their rooms, and I'm like, suckers, this is my heat. And I'm still sitting here with house shoes and a blanket, and I'm a little chilly.
I would rather be cold than hot.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that, like, my hands try to rot off of my wrists when I'm cold, I'd probably like it a little better.
Oh, bitch.
Curse me and my rare diseases.
Every week, we're going to find out a new disease that you have.
That's seriously, like, when I go to the doctor, I'm like, are they just going to flip open a med book and go, yeah, this one, this is what you got right now. It's what it feels like. Everybody's like, you already know you're sick. Why do you get so upset when you got to go to the doctor? It's like, because they just draw a random disease out of the hat.
Oh, Jesus.
And there I said, it's like, oh, you have this and you have that. And I'm sitting there going, okay, but, you know, I'm not that old. Contrary to popular belief, I should have got a cough drop. I'm starting to cough. Oh, well.
Proud of you.
But yeah, I'm not that old to justify the fucking diseases I have. Terrible.
Oh, boy. Anyway, a lot of news to go over this week. A lot of news, a lot of stuff to talk about. Might as well dive right into this, huh?
Shit happened. Let's talk about it.
The biggest shit that happened this week, Bethesda has come under fire for a potential bait and switch and false advertising lawsuit as their $200 Fallout 76 Collector's Edition did not come with the advertised canvas carrying bag, but instead a cheaper bullshit nylon bag.
That's a pretty big deal.
That is a huge deal, especially when you look at what was advertised. And the picture specifically says canvas bag.
Yeah, they're going to eat shit over that. And that kind of sucks because Fallout 76 has already been eating shit anyway.
Oh, a lot of shit.
They're about to get a healthy helping of it. And it's not looking any better for them.
Well, someone contacted Bethesda's customer support and asked what they plan to do about it, because, you know, that's a pretty big deal, getting a shitty nylon bag as opposed to a canvas bag that is, you know, actual quality and well-made. And they replied back, quote, "We are sorry that you aren't happy with the bag. The bag shown in the media was a prototype and was too expensive to make. We aren't planning on doing anything about it."
Well, and I saw on Twitter, though, they are actually going to do a little something.
Yeah, after heavier fire from the online community, the official Bethesda Twitter rep on Twitter said that they are going to be providing 500 atoms to Power Edition buyers, which translates to $5 in in-game currency.
Yeah, so you can buy like a door and some succulents.
Yay.
I hope you like your succulents, bitches. Yeah, it's pretty disappointing the way they're handling it. I don't think it's going to end well for them.
I don't think it's going to end well either. I very much see this ending in a class action lawsuit, because that is some horse shit. And the fact that they're doing basically nothing to make good on what they advertised, that's
yeah,
really, really shitty on Bethesda's part.
Bethesda, please, what are you doing?
I don't know. It makes me really happy I didn't bite on that collector's edition.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because you're like the king of collector's addiction. See? It's such an addiction that I didn't even say it properly. It's true. Like it was a Freudian slip and it was still accurate.
Yeah, it is. I've been cutting back a lot. Like the only real big collector's edition I got this fall was Assassin's Creed.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, it's a really cool statue.
I feel like a lot of the collector's editions have not been worth it lately.
I agree, and that's why I've been cutting back. Like, I would be the guy who buys the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Special Edition that comes with a steel book and a pro controller and all this other fun stuff, and I'm just going to buy it digital instead.
Yeah. I'm very pro just buy all your shit digital anyway. So, I don't understand a lot of the collector's editions anymore. I feel like the developers just make them because they feel like they have to.
Mm-hmm.
And they just throw a lot of random shit in.
Or then like you get something like the Darksiders 3 Apocalypse Edition. Have you seen that one?
No, what is that?
It comes with statues of each of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Okay, now that's pretty badass.
Four statues. Four
but
of them.
But now how much is it?
$400.
Yeah, okay. I will say, and it's not just because I love The Division, but The Division's Collector's Edition was pretty badass. You actually got one of the Agent Watches.
Oh, yeah.
And like it lit up orange and everything. It was pretty badass. Surprise, I won my copy of The Division. And the guy I won it from gave it away because he'd already pre-ordered and bought the gold edition of the game. But then turned around and bought the collector's edition because he liked it so well. Then he didn't need the extra copy of the game and he gave it away. And that's how I ended up with The Division.
Nice.
I remember in order to get your entry for that giveaway, you had to watch his YouTube video. And I was just watching it like the whole time before I'd even played the game. I was like, holy shit, that is a badass collector's edition. And now, even more so, I'm like, well, I missed that boat. I don't think I will ever find one of those if I wanted to, but
I'm sure you could find one on eBay.
If there's even anything remotely as cool for The Division 2, I might buy my first ever collector's edition, man.
Well, it looks like there's the Ubisoft store has a standard edition, a gold edition, a gold steelbook edition, an ultimate edition, a Dark Zone definitive collector edition, and a Phoenix Shield collector edition.
Good old Ubisoft, man. You'll need a PowerPoint presentation to tell you the differences between them.
Yeah. It looks like the two big collector's editions come with specialized steelbooks and figurines.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't want figurines. They did a figurine of the first Division, but it was after the fact. And it wasn't part of the collector's edition, I don't think. So, I don't really care about the figurines. That's just dust collectors. I live on a dirt road. I can't afford any more dust collectors.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to go with the gold steelbook. Because I like my steelbooks.
Dust. I'll just buy the gold edition digital and call it a day.
As long as you get the gold edition and then they don't give you half of the content that you paid for.
I say the gold edition because I am banking on it being the same as the gold edition for the first one. Because that had the game and the season pass, and that's really all I need in life. I just want to play the game. I don't need anything fancy.
I just got the gold edition of Hitman 2 this week. It was on sale. Instead of $100 on Best Buy, it was down to $60.
I did see that.
And then I have my gamer club still, so it knocked it down to $48. And then I had $30 in reward coupons, so I paid $20 for it.
That's kind of insane.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played it yet?
Not yet, no.
Not yet. Get it together,
I just
Joe.
Got it in today, so.
Oh, okay.
And there was something that that took my attention today. So we might as well move on to this. The three games were added to the Xbox backward compatibility lineup this week. And holy shit, they are some good ones.
Yeah.
Sonic Unleashed, which, you know, that's okay.
Okay.
Aliens versus Predator, which is a really good game. Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Oh, yeah.
I lost my shit when I saw that was one of the games.
Did you go and install it instantly?
Instantly.
Is that the fastest you've ever moved in your life?
Close to it, yeah. And I didn't even have to run in my game room to pick up the disc off my shelf because I bought it digital as well.
You're quite the overachiever.
It's Kingdoms of Amalur. I fucking love that game.
That's impressive.
I have like a ridiculous collector edition for that game with a signed statue and signed artwork and all this other fun stuff.
Yeah. I need to work on my gamer collection. I really do. I have shit tons of games, but the only... Well, I have some State of Decay stickers, and I have a patch, and I have my Bronto Gas sign. And then I have a couple of shirts. I have a Sea of Thieves shirt. I have a Crackdown 3 shirt.
Oh, nice. Where'd you get those? You won them, right?
Yeah.
Shocker.
I have an ID and Xbox shirt. I think that's it.
Shocker that you won them.
I got a Call of Duty shirt. So, yeah, there we go. I actually bought the Call of Duty one.
Ooh, look at you, big spender.
I know. I wanted the hat. I didn't really care about the shirt, but it had a beanie hat. I still like my beanie hat.
I have a whole bunch of beanie hats. I love beanie hats.
I have frizzy ass curly hair, and beanie hats are a lifesaver when I have to take the kids out at 7 a.m.
I have no hair.
You need all the extra warmth retention that you can muster.
I need to hide the male pattern baldness going on.
You need to put like 4 beanie hats on so you don't get cold.
I need, like, normally I would be shaving my head, but it's getting cold out and I'm also very, very lazy.
Yeah, like, this little strand's going to keep over here warm. This little strand's going to keep over here warm. That's the funny thing. Like, I haven't been cutting Dee's hair because his ears get cold. So I let it grow in the winter. Because I only know how to do one hairstyle.
Me too. Shaved bald.
He cannot pull off the bald look. There's a certain type of face shape that has to go along with the bald look, and Dee's ain't it.
I think I got a good shape for it.
It does suit you. Like, I don't know what... If you had hair, it would be very weird to me.
I used to have hair.
and that's weird to me. Like, I think there's a couple of pictures I've seen where you've had a little more on top, and it's just like, that's not Joe. You ain't got no hair.
I miss my hair.
I give you some of mine. I got more than enough.
Oh, God. But yeah, Kingdoms of Amalur. I am so excited about it. Do you own the game or no?
I don't. I don't. I had never even heard of it until you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I have no idea beyond what you've ever told me about it. But I'm glad that you're happy. I know you were excited for it.
I know I normally tell you need to play this game, and then we both laugh about it and you don't play the game. You need to play Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Am I going to be replaced as co-host if I don't play this game?
It's possible. Are you a fan of Fable games?
Yeah, I actually did play Fable.
Kingdoms of Amalur is the Fable game that I always wanted.
Oh.
It is. The combat is amazing, and it still holds up really well. It looks a little bit janky compared to some of the HD games that we get now, but it still looks well. It still plays well. I was playing it for hours earlier today. When I should have been playing other stuff.
Nailed it.
I needed to get back into it. Even Dark Mika's telling you to go buy it, play it, and love it.
That's pretty impressive if you're both yelling at me to go play it. Yeah. Shit. Is it expensive?
I don't know what it's going for. I think GameStop has it for like $5, but I'm sure that's going to go up in price.
They closed our GameStop. We ain't got one no more.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I was like, we were out shopping today for Christmas, and I was like, wait a second. The fuck did that happen?
I don't know what it is digital. There
was some other store called Kentucky Brewed Teas there, and I was like, this is not what I want. I did not come here for this.
I'm going to look up the price and see what it costs. Do, 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 do. I'm going to have to open it in an incognito window since I already own the thing. Yeah, it's $20 digital.
Yeah, not too bad.
And then they have two DLCs for $10 each.
Okay, now we're getting excessive.
Avenged Immortal in chat is saying he loved Kingdoms, very underrated. See, everybody loves Kingdoms. It is such a good game.
That's nuts.
It is good.
And I missed out on it. I don't know. I do know so how good, I missed out on games, but...
Oh, let's see. What other news is there? Games with Gold for December were announced.
Yes. People are not impressed.
Not at all. Xbox One for the whole month of December is getting Cube 2, which good game, solid game.
Good game. Yep.
And then December 16th through January 15th is Never Alone, which,
I have that. I actually bought it, and I've never played it.
I honestly would have thought that'd be a game you played, because it's more of an adventure puzzle kind of thing.
I wanted it for ages. And then I was just like, it was on sale for $4 for the complete edition with all the DLC and everything. And I was like, yeah, get in my cart. And then it fell into the backlog. Like, you know how buggies got them little holes at the bottom?
Uh-huh.
It just went right through the buggy. Into the buggy, down to the backlog. And that was that. So, it's been there ever since. And every now and then, I go scrolling through, and I'm like, oh, shit, I need to play that. Or I'll install it, and it'll sit there for, like, 3 months, and I'm like, motherfucker, I don't have time for this. And
delete. It
just falls back, and I'm like, well, that's the thing I do. One of these days.
No, you won't. But then on the Xbox 360, December 1st through the 15th is Dragon Age 2, which gets a lot of hate, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know David wanted it, so he'll probably be pretty happy.
Yeah, and then the rest of December, Mercenaries Playground of Destruction from the original Xbox.
This is where there's a lot of questionable attitudes, because I don't think we were ever told we were going to get original Xbox games. I'm not particularly mad about it, but a lot of people look to the Games with Gold for free gamer score.
Oh, yeah.
And you ain't getting that shit off an original Xbox game.
True.
So, yeah.
Oh, well, fuck them.
No.
It's a good game. What are you going to do? It's a good game.
Eh. No, no gamer score for you fuckers. Carry on.
Suck a dick.
Yeah.
Speaking of dicks, PlayStation Plus for December was also announced. PlayStation 3 is getting Steridan, which is that one shooter that came out a while back.
Yeah.
And Steins Gate, a visual novel. The Vita is getting Papers, Please and Iconoclast, which is also on PS4. And then PS4 is getting Soma and Onrush.
They definitely got a better month.
Yeah.
I mean, Soma is incredible.
And then Onrush is still new.
Yeah, Onrush is new. I mean, it's in Game Pass, but...
I guess it just didn't sell as well as people had hoped, so they're trying to get it out to as many people as possible.
Yeah. But, I don't know, I'm a concede that PlayStation rolled us over this month.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Some news that you'll enjoy. Square Enix trademarked Parasite Eve in Europe.
You lie to me.
No idea if this is going to lead to anything or not, but it got people's attention that maybe, just maybe, they're going to do something with Parasite Eve again.
This is one of those moments I wish I actually was brave enough to turn on my camera so you could see my face over this. give.
I don't get too excited because we all know all the Parasite Eve games so far have been on PlayStation.
Too late, then deal. I know, and Square Enix has been particularly buddy-buddy with PlayStation lately, so
yeah.
My odds are quite slim.
But and, there's a chance.
Don't care. I'm still going to dream.
There is a chance something might happen.
My hopelessly optimistic ass cannot help but fantasize about Parasite Eve on my Xbox.
Dark Mika, and we just heard Cole come a bit.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing. I'm going to need to change, is what I'm saying.
Well, too bad, because we got shit to do.
Bitches are going to sit here and chafe.
Some sad news for rhythm game fans. Guitar Hero Live's Guitar Hero TV portion of the game is shutting down this weekend, meaning that 90% of the music in the game will no longer be accessible.
I come really close to buying Guitar Hero on sale because, number one, loves rhythm games.
Get Rock Band.
And I just didn't do it. And so I'm kind of glad.
I've seen Guitar Hero Live at Five Below.
Really?
Yes.
I think there was one point where the game I saw it was stupid cheap, but it was still crazy expensive to get the guitars. And that's what stopped me. Because we don't have any of the peripherals. But
yeah, I think
I want to say I saw it. I know where I saw it at. There's a store that buys like those overstock pallets, and they had the game, but none of the peripherals, or it was missing one of them or something. But it was like $15, and I almost did it. And I don't remember why I didn't. Unless it was maybe because I looked up the extra peripherals or something, but I didn't do it.
I don't know, but Guitar Hero Live, they only sold it with the guitar because it required the guitar, and it was a new guitar, and it sucked badly. Yeah,
I heard that Guitar Hero Live was not particularly the best version Guitar Hero ever.
Not at all. So. And that's the only decent part of the game with Guitar Hero TV, which was like a live streaming TV channel of songs that you can play, is getting turned off. So the only thing left is going to be the anemic and fairly awful 42 song disc soundtrack.
Wow.
That's it. 42 songs.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
No. Sad face. Oh, I feel bad for anybody that did buy that shit.
Like me.
Did you really? I just assumed
I own it.
Rock Band and that was that.
No, I bought it mainly because Chevelle's song, The Clincher, was part of Guitar Hero TV. And
I was just about to ask, was it?
One of the main reasons I got it is going to be gone in 2 days, so...
You better load that shit up and play it before it goes.
The fun thing is, I reinstalled it, and I fired it up because I'm like, I have achievements I could get. I should play this a little bit more. Let me get some more time in this game. Maybe it wasn't as bad as I remembered. And I played two songs. I'm like, God, I hate this fucking game. I hate the game. I hate the guitar. It's just awful. I know some people love it and really enjoyed it. I think it is the worst rhythm game to come out, and Power Gig exists.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I don't even know about Power Gig. I'm just going off of how you said it.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I'm bummed, but whatever.
I'm sorry.
At least I'll own it forever, and I'll be able to be like, hey, look at my wall of shame. I could set it next to my collector's edition of Aliens, Colonial Marines, Duke Nukem Forever, and Defiance.
Oh, no.
I've bought a lot of awful shit, is what I'm saying. And somehow Guitar Hero Live was the worst thing I've ever bought.
That's pretty hardcore.
Like, I can't exaggerate on this because I despise the game that much. I hated Guitar Hero Live.
Wow.
Yeah. And the worst part is because they changed the button layout and used a 6-button guitar instead of the 5-button guitars, you can't use your old equipment with it. You can't use the new guitar in other games. And it makes it harder to learn the game. And as you learn it, it makes you worse at Rock Band because your brain is trying to get used to a whole new button layout. And then you go back and you're like, oh, wait, fuck, there's these other buttons and I have to use my pinky again.
Oh. So here's my suggestion. Get you some metallic colored spray paint. Spray paint the guitars and hang them up on the wall and use them as decoration because that's about all they're good for.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or sell them on eBay because there's always some motherfucker that wants that shit.
I doubt it. Again, they sold the game at Five Below.
Yeah.
Which means at the most expensive, it was $5 for the game with a guitar.
With the guitar. Oh,
yes. Yes.
Okay, so yeah, you've got you some pretty dust catchers. Congratulations.
I might try playing it one more time before Saturday ends, just to see if I can get one more achievement.
Stream it.
Oh, man. All right, we'll see.
Do it.
We'll see. I might have to actually get a headset and talk that time. Just playing it, and the entire time I'm like, God, I hate this game. God, I fucking hate this game. Oh, last bit of news I have is some Game Pass updates. The Gardens Between just launched directly to Game Pass, and then in the coming weeks, we could look forward to both Mutant Year Zero and Strange Brigade both coming to Game Pass.
I am so excited for Strange Brigade to go to Game Pass, because I begged Studa from the moment that game landed on my hard drive. Please play this with me. Please, 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 for the love of all that fucks on Sundays, play this with me. And he was like, fucks on Sundays. And he was like,
what he was the like, hell?
You don't interrupt my story. He was like, pay attention. He was like, man, it's awful expensive. I don't know. And I never had the money to just straight up gift it to him, so I was stuck. And now I'm like, bitch, you have no excuse. Get in there. I already have it completed, and I don't care. I'm going to play it again just to drag his midget ass through it. That's what's going to happen.
You never asked me to play it.
You want to play it with me? It has 4-player. Let's go. Have you not played it?
No.
I'm going to carry everybody through it, and then I'm going to be so excited and happy.
It's a shooter. Of course you're going to carry me.
I mean, I was trying to give you the benefit of a doubt.
Oh, no, it's a shooter. You're going to be carrying me.
Okay. So why you got to put me on a spot and make me be mean?
How are you being mean?
To be like, you suck at shooters.
Oh, no, I'm the one saying it.
I know it, but if I agree, it's still mean.
No, it's not. It's true. It's not mean if it's true.
It's a little mean.
But yeah, that's the news I got. Anything on your end?
No, you know what's terrible is that I actually did have a note of news and I wrote it down and it was big and long-winded and it was like I had all these details and I don't know which notebook I put it in and I can't find it.
Do you remember anything about it?
Not a fucking thing.
So proud of you.
I know it. I was so proud. I was like, I have notes and I have news and it's going to be so good. I don't know what I did with it. Oh, I know. I normally riff on Fortnite. I like to give it shit because it's bad. but you gotta give some points to Epic Games because an 8-year-old created a skin for a chicken warrior character and somebody on Reddit took the 8-year-old's drawing and made an actual character model out of it and Epic Games added it to Fortnite.
Oh, that's cool.
That 8-year-old's character is in the game as a purchasable skin. So I thought that was pretty nifty. But otherwise, Fortnite's terrible. Don't play that shit.
Didn't it just win some kind of Game of the Year award from someone?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. I know that they have over 200 million players a month. And that's just excessive, guys. Calm your tits.
200 million players?
Yeah, across all platforms. So,
I mean 200 million games? Because 200 million players sounds unbelievable. I don't know,
but not really when you think of worldwide.
I don't know. That just sounds a bit much.
They make over 300 million a month, but I don't think that 200 million. Now I'm going to Google it. We were supposed to be speedrunning this shit, but I'm Googling Fortnite players per month. Don't try to show me Ninja. Get the fuck out of here with this.
Doc Havoc, it's worldwide, Joe.
Worldwide. How many players are playing? This is from November 8th. Okay, 8.3 million concurrent players.
Okay, now that I can believe.
But their total player count has topped 200 million.
I wonder if that just includes people who played it once and never again.
Probably, which means my horrible ass would be included in that.
So would mine. I wonder if that includes, like, if Ashley was logged in while I played it, if that counts her as a player.
That's a good question.
I wouldn't be shocked. Or people who play on multiple devices, each one is an individual count.
Yeah.
Probably. They're cheating.
Probably. Oh, okay, hold on. It is worth noting that this figure, this is from PC Games. I don't mean to just steal their content and not credit them. It is worth noting that this figure is the total number of registered players, a number which can't actually decrease, but is still astonishingly large.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, active players, just people who have ever played.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense then.
So if you want an active player count, the last we heard was 78.3 million. Logging Damn. In per month.
That's still a lot.
That's still a lot. And 8.3 concurrent is insane.
Yeah.
More people were playing Fortnite concurrently at that point than the sum total of every single game on Steam combined at the same time.
Sweet Jesus. No time for games. It counts your dog if he's sitting next to you while you're playing.
I mean, I got a couple dogs. I got a lot of dogs.
So how many Fortnite players are in your house?
Does it count the cats, too, or just the dogs?
Everyone. Like, there's rabbits? Obviously 10 players in my house, because it's me, Ashley, and 8 cats. That's 10 players.
5 people, 4 dogs, 2 cats, and a rabbit.
And a partridge in a
pear tree. Wait, do the chickens, like, sitting on the windowsill count?
Yes, clearly.
Oh my god, then I couldn't even keep count, because some days there's like 15 of them up there, and some days there's only 2 or 3.
Well, then you have minimum 30 players in your house.
Yeah, that's about right.
Proud of you. So, should we jump to reviews?
Let's go.
All right, review time. First game to talk about tonight is called Floor Kids, developed by HoloLabs and Merge Media, published by Merge Media, released November 27th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. Floor Kids is a one-of-a-kind breakdancing game featuring unique trick-style rhythm gameplay. Innovative controls allow you the freedom to play the way you like with a dynamic scoring system that rewards your moves based on musicality, originality, and style. Cole, tell us about Floor Kids.
Sometimes those summaries do like 95% of the job for me. But it really is a rhythm game, but as opposed to, you know, doing like a quick time event for pressing face buttons along with the beat, you have to tap a face button to keep the beat going, but you also move your analog stick to do different types of dance moves while you're tapping the face buttons. So you want to keep time with the beat. But you also want your character to do one of the 4 different types of dance move types. So sometimes you'll want to do a freeze where you push up on the analog stick while holding down a button on one of the face buttons at the same time to do a freeze. You don't want to do that for too long, though, because then your character will fall flat on their face and you'll lose some points. You also want to switch up what your character is doing dance-wise. So you don't want to hold a freeze for too long. You want to try to dip into something else, something like Top Rock, or where they'll basically just do like something standing and moving their feet, or you'll have, I can't remember the other name of it. For the record, I played this last week and I was prepared to do it then, and I'm trying to run this shit from memory in a few notes. But there, like I said, there are 4 different types of moves, and you'll want to either press down on your analog stick, press left, press right, and that changes the type of move you're doing. Some of them are power moves. The crowd will make requests on what type of moves that you can do, and if you do that, you'll get a bonus point. But you also have to think about how you flow from one move to the other. You don't want to go from a dance move that's low to one that's Top Rock without some kind of transition between them. Otherwise, it'll kind of look like a jerky movement and you'll lose points for that. Ideally, you want to do enough moves and get a high enough score in each of the game's levels so that you can unlock character cards to unlock more characters to add to your crew. You get to pick any one of them to start with, and they all have different strengths and weaknesses as far as the four different dance move types go. But they still kind of all balance out, so it's not particularly unfair to play with one character or another. And you'll just work your way through the different levels and collecting the cards. You can also play local versus matches, nice. Which are hilarious.
I'm guessing you'll did that with the family?
Yeah, me and number one did this a lot. she had a really good time with this. You want to do the same dance moves you have to beat. Every now and then it will come up, and this is in campaign and versus mode, but it will come up with a series of squares, and you have to hit the beat at the right time, like a quick time event. And then they'll have another set of blocks where you got to try to fill in as many as you can just by like randomly moving across the face buttons. So the higher the score that you get, obviously one or the other is going to win. But the person who is not currently dancing can do like these little pose moves using the face button on the side to build up a burn meter. Once your burn meter's full, you can press the bumper and shoot it at whoever is dancing. And if that burn hits them, they fall and lose points. But if they're careful and they haven't used it already, they can use a burn shield and stop the burn from hitting themselves while they continue to dance. It gets incredibly complicated. And likewise, if you have anything wrong with your hands, they're going to hurt by the end of this game. Because trying to keep up with the fast-paced beats and moving to the dance moves in time can be really difficult. And I found that this was where my Elite controller really fucking shined. Those face buttons to the paddles, and I was just absolutely stomping number one into the ground, and she was doing so much better than me in every other way. But because I was just, it was easier for me to transition because of my paddles. It was not fair.
Oh, you cheater.
It was not fair at all. But it was so much more comfortable. But the game was just really silly. It was really lighthearted. The music is really good. The art style is a lot of fun. It's got this very sketchy, animated, illustrated art style. It's just a lot of fun to play. And I really enjoyed it.
So $20 on it. What do you think?
I give it a buy it. I hope that they add more levels and more music later on, because I want to keep playing it.
I mean, you can keep playing it.
You can, but it starts to get monotonous. We need different quick time events and stuff.
You're sure monotonous. Played it.
I mean, have you ever heard my voice?
Fucking burned you. You didn't have a burn shield for that one.
I didn't have a burn shield. But no, it really was a lot of fun. And
gotcha.
You know, I'm trying to recover, but the crowd isn't giving me anything here, so I'm just going to have to power rock.
So basically, I need to buy this game.
I really don't know why you haven't yet. You should.
Because I don't have $20. Gift it to me.
Gift it to you. Okay.
There you go.
I will gift you floor kids. I can't even think of words. I am so sleepy already. Yeah. But
it's okay. There's only a couple more to talk about.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Let's go. Speaking of dicks.
Next game to talk about, we mentioned briefly before, just launched on Game Pass, The Gardens Between, developed and published by the Voxel Agents, released November 29th on Xbox One for $19.99 and right to Game Pass. The Gardens Between is a surreal puzzle adventure that follows best friends Arena and Frent as they fall into a mysterious world of beautiful garden islands. Manipulate time to solve puzzles and discover the secrets of each island. Cole, tell us about The Gardens Between.
So this is a puzzle game with some really unique twists. You don't actually control either of the two characters. They move about the world, but you control time. In order to do this, it's incredibly simple. You use three buttons throughout the whole game. You use left on the analog stick to move time back and rewind. you use right or forward on the analog stick to move time forward, and you use A to interact with lanterns. It's basically your goal with each of the islands that you play on is to get to the summit of it and basically uncover its secret. Each island kind of serves as like a memory. So there's some rocks, there's some bridges to cross with each one of them. They're fairly small, but they get larger as the game goes on. And they'll have kind of things that will remind you of like childhood scattered throughout. Like one of my favorites had an old school tube TV and a game console that looked like an old Nintendo. And you
it
actually,
looked like a Famicom, actually. That's what
it
reminded me of.
Was it a Famicom? I don't think I remember Famicoms.
Well, it's the Japanese NES.
Okay. That would be why I don't remember a Famicom. it was one of my favorite levels because you actually had to manipulate time so that the cube that you put your lantern on to move it past darkness jumps into the game in order to collect the light. So the cube actually smashes into the side of the TV and becomes a part of the video game. And then you have to continue to move time backward and forward to play the video game inside the video game. And then once you bring the light out, you can continue on through the level. It's all very simple, but the levels get more and more complex to the point that sometimes you just need to take a few minutes to sit and look at the island to figure out where you're going and why.
Or to just look at the island because it is a beautiful game.
They're all so pretty. Oh, the art style is just, it's incredible. I was trying to think of what it reminded me of. And I can't think of it right now. There was another game that had a very similar, it was another narrative, but had a very similar color scheme with the teals and the purples. And it was just, you know what it kind of reminds me of? Ooblet screenshots. The character models remind me of Ooblets. The world a little bit too, but it's all just incredibly detailed and it's so pretty. Once you successfully finish an island, then it kind of goes into like this little bubble. It's all so hard to explain. It's so visual and there are no words or text. But it kind of like floats into this bubble and you get to see this little glimpse in time. And then you actually have to rotate this little memory to line it up to form a constellation. The whole thing is just, it's just an incredibly touching story. Probably without a guide, you're probably looking at about a 3 or 4 hour game experience. It is fairly short. It is a narrative.
I'd honestly be shocked if it took people longer than two.
You think so?
Yeah. It's not a
Some
very...
Some of the later levels are pretty complicated, though.
All right. Maybe three.
Yeah. I can go with that. I know that you can do it in under... in right around an hour with a guide.
Yeah.
But if you need cheating. A guide, yeah, I would be a little shocked. You can totally do it without if you just take your time with it.
Yeah, there can be a lot of trial and error if you do. Yeah.
I think the whole aspect is once you catch on to the main mechanic, that's why I'm not really talking about it. It's because I don't want to spoil it because it's part of the fun of figuring out the game.
Yeah.
But once you catch on to that, like it just changes the way you look at the islands themselves and how you progress. But it was just absolutely incredible. And I cannot wait to go back and finish it because I'm on some of the later levels and I just want to finish.
I'm about to start World 6, I think.
I like that you can go back and replay them too.
Yeah, especially because there's some missable achievements in the game.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Chapter Select.
Yay. Well, overall, $20 on this one. What do you think of it?
This is absolutely a buy it. And if you're not sure and you still don't want to take my word for it, pay a dollar, get Game Pass, and try it out, because it is incredible.
Yeah, I think this is one of those games that is perfect for Game Pass, because it's a game that you can pick up, play, beat, and move on.
Yeah.
And as much as I love encouraging people to buy games like this, it's on Game Pass for a reason.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
I think it's perfect for Game Pass.
I was not surprised. I was a little surprised, but also not surprised at the same time when you were like, oh, and by the way, it launched into Game Pass. And I was like, well, it fits in. I tend to think of like games like Brothers and other puzzles like that and how they work so well with Game Pass, although Brothers is out of Game Pass now. But it kind of feels at home there.
Yeah.
So I'm not upset about them adding it at all.
Yeah, I think it works perfectly, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a beautiful game.
Yes.
So definitely worth playing. If you have Game Pass, absolutely grab this right away.
Now, don't even finish listening to us. Just go download it.
Yeah, we're not worth listening to in the first place.
Next!
A quick news update. No Time for Games mentioned something that we didn't mention yet. The Xbox onesie is going on sale.
Yes! Friday morning at 10 a.m. And I don't know. Does No Time know the price? I don't think they announced it.
I don't even know where you can buy it. Is it going to be like a Microsoft Store exclusive
Gear.xbox.com.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Go buy it. It's so cool. I want one. If anybody doesn't know what to get me for Christmas, there you go. I wear a size super fat.
No, I wear a size super fat.
I wear a size almost super fat.
There you go. I'm sure I've got most people beat on weight right now. And Thanksgiving just passed with Christmas right around the corner, so I'm going to get even more super fat. Yeah.
I've been inhaling steroids like they're Tic Tacs. So you know what happens when you inhale steroids like Tic Tacs? You inhale everything else like Tic Tacs too.
Oh, man. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Horizon Chase Turbo, developed and published by Aquarius Game Studio, released November 28th on Xbox One and Switch for $19.99, previously on PS4. Thrilling arcade racing game inspired by the super fun, straight-to-the-point classic racing games from the 90s. Cole, tell us about Horizon Chase Turbo.
So this is an arcade racer, like you said in the summary. This one did not help me out. Thanks, summary.
I thought it was as
it's
on the nose as possible.
I keep wanting to, every time somebody says, what is this game when I'm playing it? I keep wanting to say it's an on-the-rails racer, but it's not quite, because you can't go off the road just a smidge. Just mm-hmm. enough to fuck yourself.
If you ever played OutRun from Sega in the old school days, that is very similar to what this game is.
Well, I was actually looking this game up because I do those things. And the composer for this game soundtrack was the composer for some original Super Nintendo games called Top Gear, Top Gear 2, and Top Gear 3000.
Oh, nice.
And so apparently those are very similar and were heavy inspiration for this game. As far as gameplay goes, you have your car and you're racing and you have a set track circuit and you just want to pass everybody and not go the little tiny bit that you can go off the road and hit something. Don't do that. No. And it's very cut and dry. However, there are, several different modes. There's the World Tour mode. There are over 100 tracks for 12 different regions.
Yeah, they are not fucking around with tracks.
That's a big ass game. There is a lot to do, and you're not going to actually just play them once. There's a lot of replay, because as you upgrade your car, every so often, after you win a few races, there's a possibility to do an upgrade race where you will win an upgrade part that affects all of your cars. So once you've got a few of those under your belt, you'll want to go to older races and try to get first place, because you don't have to get first to continue on the races. They'll continue to unlock even if you do relatively poorly. But you do ideally want to go back and get first. And in addition to getting first, you can actually get a super trophy, as there are little blue tokens on each of the tracks. And if you collect all of the tokens and you come in first.
Super trophy.
Super trophy. Yay. Who the fuck doesn't want something called a super trophy? So like, I started playing. I'm like, I'm just going to go through the races. I just want to see as many of the maps as I can and see what all the different areas look like. And then I played four races and I'm like, no, I got an upgrade. I want to go back. And I started going back like a jackass.
Yeah, I ran into the issue I always run into in games where I need to get first place before I move on.
Yes, I did that too.
Need to get first. I need to get all those tokens.
Ugh, it's a horrible trap. And then before you know it, you played 74 hours and you've done 6 levels.
Yep.
And you're like, well, that's the thing.
It speaks to how fun the game is. I did not run out of gas yet.
I ran out of gas. That's depressing.
So tell me, what happens when you run out of gas? Because I did not.
Your ass just coasts, and then everybody passes you, and you don't finish.
Nice.
I coasted the first couple times before I realized what was going on, and like it was coasting, and it comes up and it says, you know, low gas, and I'm like, oh shit, and then I would be like kind of close to a gas can, and I could actually coast into it. But yeah, I couldn't figure out why the gas cans were things. And then the first time I did it, and I was like, holy fuck, I'm an idiot. I just assumed that they were like some kind of little icon for bonus points or something and not an actual, hey, you need gas, dummy. Be incredibly oblivious when I'm focused. Like sometimes I'm playing and I'm taking notes at the same time and I'm so focused on what I'm writing down that I miss some really key simple shit.
I'm so proud of you.
I know. In addition to the World Tour mode, there's also a championship mode, which is kind of like your typical kart racer gameplay. And then there's an endurance mode if you actually master the World Tour and the championship. There's also playground mode, which has time trials and things like that to keep you coming back and spending even more time, hopefully not running out of gas.
So there is a lot to do in this game.
You are gonna be in this one for a while. One of the most impressive things I really liked about it was just how simple it was to play, though. Usually racers, there's a bit of a learning curve and they're not really friendly to younger players, but number 2 and number 3 were actually able to play this and we're having a good time because you're so limited and you can't go so far off the track that they were able to actually stick with it and finish the races and not run out of gas. Cause they're better than mom at something. A lot of some things.
Oh boy. I will say I did have one gripe with the game.
What was that?
The AI are assholes.
The AI are the worst.
There were so many times I would be going somewhere and then the AI would just turn right in front of me.
Yeah.
And it would bounce me back.
They sideswipe you. What kind of pissed me off is that if you bump them, they just push further ahead. Mm-hmm. You can't even like play like a jackass and knock them off and send them into a sign or something. They just get an advantage if you do bump them.
Yep.
Bastards.
Other than that, though, I love the game. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really did enjoy it. I do kind of wish there was difficulty settings. I guess in a way, no.
You could scrub.
I want to not go flying into the... Like, if they could just maybe put some bumper rails up so I don't hit those fucking signs. That'd be good.
Well, overall, $20 on this one. What do you think?
I give it a butt. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And there's so much there that it definitely justifies the price.
Yeah, when I first saw the game and I saw the price, I was worried about how much longevity it would have. But there's just so much content in this game that it justifies the price, and it is worth picking up.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, moving on. We are tagging out Cole for a little bit. Pernell Vaughn, you're here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. A little bit on the sleepy. Otherwise, good.
I got to ask you, did you hear all that Fallout canvas bag news that happened?
No, what happened?
Oh, God, you didn't hear about this?
No.
The Fallout 76 Collector's Edition was supposed to come with a canvas bag, but it came with a shitty nylon bag instead, and there's, like, this huge stink online about it.
Oh, my God. I almost feel bad for that game. I really, really do. Because it's like, first of all, the game gets announced, and they do not mince words by saying, this game is not Fallout that you are typically used to playing. This is a multiplayer MMO Fallout, MMO game with Fallout elements. So they kind of give you the lead in for that, and people were just like, no, it's shit. This ain't Fallout. Fuck y'all. And I'm like, come on, man, let the game come out. It's not even, wait for Fallout 5 for a real game. This isn't, they already said it. It's not meant to be. You go to E3, they have the same thing. The guys on stage said, this is not Fallout like you're used to. This is a MMO with Fallout elements. And people still didn't hear it. And then the game comes out, and people that I know for a fact have never even picked the game up or trash talking it like they've been playing it for 20 hours. Like,
yeah, you got to play it before you shit talk it.
Yeah, because like people I know that have played it, they pretty much said it has the typical string of Bethesda junk as far as like, you know, glitchiness and whatever, which I'll admit doesn't make it a plus, but these days Bethesda's been at this long enough and been doing it long enough that you know you're getting it. It'll be a shock when you don't have glitches in the game. And but aside from that, they're like, you know, this is a pretty fun game to putz around with your friends. It's pretty much what they said it would be. Yeah. And yet people won't have it. And then you hear, now you're telling me they can't get the damn collector's edition right. It's like one more turd to hit the bowl.
Yeah. What do you think of the whole situation? Do you think it's bait and switch?
Honestly, I don't even know if it's so much bait and switch these days, though. It wouldn't surprise me because I feel like there's been more than a fair share of collector's editions over the last few months or years even that show us one awesome product, i.e. the bait, and they switch it with a turd. The one that always stands out the most to me was the Marvel Capcom Ultimate Bundle, where it's like, you get a set of Infinity Stones, and you get a bunch of Easter eggs.
To defend that, though, they say on the promotional images that this is just promotional image only, final product may be different. They didn't have that for Fallout.
I mean, don't get me wrong, here's the thing about that, though. In situations like that, those disclaimer statements are just to protect the company. Because I'm sorry, if they are saying, trust us with your money, give it to us now because you'll get this later. And then the small print at the bottom, like, we're showing you gold, but we might sell you 10. But hey, we did give you a tiny warning at the bottom of the image, but don't look at that now. Give us your money. So it's like, it does this on that kid's like, it still is like, nah. If anything, I almost feel worse for the Bethesda thing, because if they didn't put the logo there, it's almost like it could have been like a last minute thing. Was like, what do you mean they sent us this garbage? We told them nylon. Well, the manufacturer fucked up.
That was very much a decision made by Bethesda to go with cheaper materials and still have all the advertising out with canvas bag mentioned.
Oh, in that case, like, they're equally fucked then.
Yeah, you need to read up on this, because I'm going to ask you about it over the weekend as well.
Dun, dun, dun. It's like, pop quiz, did you read that article? Shit!
It's your homework. But we should probably talk about the game you're here to talk about.
Yes, indeed.
The next game to talk about tonight is called Phobos Vector Prime, developed and published by Gunstar Studio, released October 16th on PS4 for $9.99. Discover the origin of Renegade Faction with its leader, J.L. Brown, in the first single-player campaign of Phobos Vector Prime, the frenzied third-person action shooter arcade. Brunel, tell us about Phobos Vector Prime.
All right, so Phobos Vector Prime is a shooter where the game starts out where you are this guy named JL, and he supposedly comes out of a cryo sleep through a series of six stages. The first level, he wakes up, and I wish I could tell you better as far as the plot goes, but the plot is terrible. The way it works is once they start you with the game, you're kind of the ship in the kind of hovering in the center of space, like a space environment. And the way the sticks work is you use the left thumbstick to move the guy around, like go forward, back, side to side. And the right thumbstick turns the ship around. The game is panned out pretty far away. And the way the story itself is conveyed is through message blocks in the upper right corner of the screen where the main character will occasionally make a comment. Like in this case, I actually decided to pause it on where he goes, hibernation isn't my thing. What a headache. It looks like the complex's orbit is synchronized with the asteroid belt. What asteroid belt? I don't fucking know because every level looks exactly the freaking same. It's just a bunch of rock corridors where you are pretty much trying to hover your ship through them. And every once in a while, you'll have to fight robots who are flying at you either through teleportation or turrets that are mounted on walls. And every time a set of these guys shows up, the guy always goes, what the hell? Or, huh? Or, whoa, no! It's like, it's always one of those statements. It's gotten to the point where every time a gated wall shows for a battle to start, I'm like, oh, god damn, here's that statement again. What the hell? But let me narrow it down, because I got, I guess, to give a concise reason for why this game is not good. All right. So you're flying the ship around. Controlling the ship is not bad. It's actually pretty easy to control the ship. Like I said, left thumbstick maneuvers them, right thumbstick does the turning. Right trigger does firing of shots, and as you play the level, different stages will unlock different weapons or shields. So one level you might have just your main gun. Another level you might have a sort of like a shield that's supposed to absorb damage or something. I never got that damn thing to work properly. It was a useless weapon. Your main sub-weapon is just a shield that absorbs actual damage, and you'll need that, which I'll get into in a minute. And then there's another weapon that I honestly never cared about. I just care about the freaking shield. So the way the game works is when enemies show up and you want to fire at them, you would want to think, I'm hitting my trigger button, bullets go straight and hit dudes. But the way this works is as you're trying to evade enemies and you're trying to fire at them, the camera does a thing where your bullets kind of curve. And while I understand the idea behind it, they were probably saying, well, as your ship is moving around in the axis, you want the bullets to kind of curve with the axis as you're moving. But in the way this game works, it makes it damn near impossible to dodge and effectively fire on enemies with decent aim. So what I end up doing for most of the main enemies is getting the shield set up, standing in place while he was in front of me, and just firing shots until the shield ran out. Then running away, then waiting, using the shield, and firing at them again. Otherwise, just firing willy-nilly and hoping bullets hit. Because I cannot legitimately aim shots in this game in an enjoyable, planned manner. And I hate making statements like this, because you've heard me say this before, where people are like, well, clearly that just means you're bad at the game. No, that does not mean I'm bad at the game. I can play games pretty well. But when I am sitting here watching my bullets arc all the freaking time and I can't aim at enemies in a decent way, it makes things more frustrating than they do fun. I was still progressing through levels. I can still beat stages. It's just not enjoyable progress. It's not enjoyable wins. And again, the story itself is bland. There are no other characters in the game. You don't have dialogue scenarios at any point. It's just that stupid text box. Also, how to convince. Okay. The game story player mode has 6 levels in it, right?
Okay.
2 of those levels, at least, recycle the same map. So the first set of the levels I'm referring to, it'll take you from the lower half of the map to the upper left corner of the map. Then when you're done that, you go to the next stage, and it starts you where you left off, and you go around the far right side of the map, back to the center of the map, back to the upper left of the map, then to the center of the map, and then down to the left where you started on the second stage. It's like, okay, so I just did the entire map twice, the same enemy types, just more turrets at one point, and the map looks boring anyway, so all you're seeing is asteroids and following your yellow arrow because nothing is distinguished, nothing is distinct, nothing indicates where you're at. You just see a bunch of rubble and a cool moon in the background with the sun shining out behind it, which looks nice there, I guess, but It's frustrating. It feels like a game that someone worked hard to make, and they did a good job because the game works. It's functional. Yeah. But functional doesn't equate to fun. And I wasn't getting the fun out of this. Each level has 3 goals you can meet, beat the level in a certain amount of time, or find a bunch of hidden crates on the map and blow them up, or kill enough guys to get a high score. You will not want to do the stages again to try to get those scores. You'll be tired and done with the game at that point.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer. It makes me sad because when the game was offered and I looked at the imagery, it looked cool. It had a cool 80s synth style going for it. And the music is actually legit. I like the music in this game. It's great music. But it had this cool 80s synth style going for it. It gave me the impression that it was going to be a pretty awesome shooter, you know, fast-paced, you know, active shooter. But instead, it just feels more like ship-centered on map with me trying to arc bullets and then ultimately just resigning to shielding up and firing bullets.
Mm.
It's rough. I know you were like, I didn't want to hear that. I was hoping you'd come on and gush.
Yeah, it's never good to hear a negative review, but, you know, they can't all be winners.
Exactly. You got to admit, though, our track record for good reviews has been pretty on point. It's just every once in a while, something's just not going to hit.
Something just doesn't click.
Yeah, and I feel like in this case, this was a case of no clickitis. Though I should admit, there is a mention also, there is like a survival mode in the game in addition to the 6-level story mode. But with that stated, a different mode doesn't fix the problem if your problem involves the game, the way the game actually functions. So
what could be done to improve the game?
Okay, let me think. In order to improve this game, well, I understand that it's meant to be short, so I'm not going to stress over the 6 stages. And I also feel like I went reading around to see if other people had any good thoughts about this game. And it seems like the word is that it's meant to be like a trilogy, so they may be making a sequel to this. If they make a sequel, put some more life in these stages. Make them more vibrant. If you're going to have a character who has like dialogue to convey the plot, kind of make it more involved, make it less canned. Make it so that there's other people that you're talking to in the game, so it's not just one guy in space lonely for 6 stages.
Yeah.
Make it so that when you're controlling the ship, I feel like the ship, that's the hardest part to just convey, how to make the ship flow better, the combat flow better. If it has to come down to having like a lock-on function, throw a lock-on function there. At least I can be like, okay, well, aiming isn't happening so well, but if I lock on, my ship will move a little bit slower, but my bullets are going to connect. That would be a nice saving grace if they don't want to tweak the way the ship itself handles in space.
No.
Because like I said, maneuvering the ship is fun. Controlling the ship is good. And when I was doing sections where I didn't care about who I was hitting, I just wanted to evade stuff, I was flying like a bandit. There's even an L1 dash button where you can like do like a quick dash out, and then it has to charge up before you can do it again. I mean, the maneuvering is cool. It's just shooting it, guys, that sucks. So they have to work on the aiming, like how aiming and pelting enemies works. It makes me sad, but I mean, there's definitely a good game hiding under this. You have to drudge it out, which comes from, you know, tweaks and improvements and changes. Yeah.
So hopefully the second campaign will be much improved.
I hope so too. And I honestly would be just willing to give it a shot for that too, just as I did this one, because in the end, there's potential here.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask $10 on this one. What is your opinion?
I'm honestly going to have to go with a deny. In this world where shooters are aplenty and you find yourself kind of fighting to enjoy the basics of a particular one, that has to flow more as a deny, but with hope for growth in a sequel.
Well, hopefully when the sequel comes along, we'll be able to check that out. And if we do, we'll have to put you on the case and see if it's improved.
I agree, man. I hope it is.
Pernell, always good having you on chatting. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I guess when this episode comes out, I may have already experienced PAX Unplugged. So I'm just saying more, you know, pray for my wallet because I don't have a ton of money. But it doesn't mean I can't hemorrhage more. There's room for loss. And I am looking forward to seeing a bunch of new games and then probably spending more than I can afford to get them. But other than that, keep warm, folks. Be good to each other. Don't be dicks.
All right, moving on. Chris Taylor's here. Chris, how are you doing?
Doing fine.
How's things?
Oh, great. It's good to be here on a different day, different podcast.
You're on one of the even numbers now.
Ooh, yeah. And it's because I've got so many games that we had to split them.
Yep, you got 2 to talk about tonight. Shall we dive in?
Yes, let's do it.
Cool. Your first game, game, is called Coloring Book, developed by FX Valley, published by Cubic Games, released November 16th on Switch as a free download with 2 pages of drawings equaling 12 total. There is also a $4.99 add-on pack available with 6 additional pages and 36 drawings there. Chris, what is Coloring Book?
Coloring Book. Well, I like that you're like, I guess it's a game.
It's more of like an app, isn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with you there. So Coloring Book is, yes, I would say for all intents and purposes, a digital coloring book. So it's basically a, you know, you pick it up and, you know, choose your theme, of which, of course, two themes are free, and those are jungle and outer space, which is interesting choice. And then, yeah, if you decide that you enjoy the interface and what the game has to offer, you can purchase for $5 the rest of the stages, which include like construction site and girl's bedroom
and cats. You can't forget cats.
Cannot forget cats. This is I think that's the reason I must have been targeted for this game, is because I always have to play the ones with the cats. But yeah, so basically the interface is interesting. So for one, the game does not work with a Pro controller or any wired controllers of any kind. There are only two ways to interface with this device, this application, if you will. That is through the Joy-Cons, which the game can actually take up to four. So if you have four of them hooked up, then everybody can join in the drawing fun. Or if you undock the Switch, then you can either still use the Joy-Con, you know, up to, I guess, up the same up to four. I only have two Joy-Cons, so I've really only tried two. And or you can use the touchscreen to draw, which, of course, is the most natural way of doing things. So the action of, like, actually coloring in with the Joy-Con is interesting, because basically you move the little cursor, the little paintbrush around, either with the stick or, I'm sorry, you can move it around with the stick to get it into position. And once it's in position, you can hold the shoulder button down and then you can actually move it, and it will create, the cursor will follow you. So it will create a kind of paintbrush effect. So you can lay the paint on it, or you can continue to use the stick and do the same if hand waving isn't your thing.
I was a touch screen guy.
Do what?
I was a touch screen guy.
Yeah, I tried all of it because, you know, I have to review it, so had to try everything.
Your due diligence.
Exactly. So the interesting thing about this, now the game advertises that there are 89 colors that you get in the game. That's slightly misleading, because you actually will get 8 to 9 color choices depending on the picture. So each picture will have a certain palette that you have to use. So while you can, you know, paint a blue monkey, you know, in your jungle scene with the monkey, then, you know, that's... They still, you know, it's blue and three greens and a yellow for the banana and like two flesh tones.
Well, I'm going to jump in and correct you, because the very bottom option opens up the entire palette and you could choose another color.
What? Oh, yeah. I was looking for that. Yeah. Okay. Well, never mind then. It gives you 8 to 9 suggested colors and then lets you go nuts with the rest. Well, good thing you were here.
Yeah, boy. I was coloring my cats.
Oh, nice. So you're making them like your actual cat's colors?
I was trying.
I do that too. I try to make everything a Wilfred. which, speaking of which, the way you would do that in this game, so you also, unless I'm mistaken, and you have like way more, you have 8 sort kind of 8 brush types, right? So you have 8 different tools that you can use, 4 or 5 of which are brushes, one of which is a brush that guarantees that that you'll stay within the lines, which is really handy for, you know, somebody who's going for accuracy. And you know, similar to that, there is a tool that will allow you to erase within a certain line as well. So if you, let's say you get the spray paint option, which, you know, that creates a line of paint that drips down somewhat, which I noticed that it tends to drip down the exact same way no matter how long you stay on a particular piece of the canvas. So that's a little, you know, unreal there. However, but yeah, the erasing tool will erase like everything within the field that you're using it on. The challenge I came across there is when I was trying to, let's say, unpaint eyeballs on some of my characters, especially the ones with the smaller eyeballs, it was really hard to center that cursor. I ended up erasing the like two-tone effect I was going for with the other characters, and there seems to be no direct undo button, which, you know, everything from MS Paint to literally everything else has. So, you know, this game has some limits to the options. Not to colors, though. I was wrong there. Can't believe I didn't see that plus button. The game has a soundtrack that's, I would say, yeah, it's pleasant. It sounds like other Cubic games, I think. Kind of puzzle gamey music. The actual pictures are good. They're very much, you know, almost to a T, they look like they're suitable for a kind of ages 3 to 8 kind of set. You know, they're very cartoony and lively. One note that I did appreciate is that the pictures with humans in them have more than one suggested, like, skin tone. So that was something they could have easily overlooked but didn't.
Yeah.
Which, of course, that aspect is now moot since I now know that you can choose anything.
Yeah, that'll teach you.
Yeah.
Well. So, as a free download, would you recommend people check this out?
Yes, especially for children, because I'm actually going to suggest this to my sister, who has two nieces, and she just bought a Switch last week. So this is a great way to have your kids, you know, like, painting and creating and, you know, making pictures that they'll be happy with. And because it uses the Joy-Cons as well as the touchscreen, you don't have to worry about them messing up your Switch. If you've got it on the TV, you know, they can just use the Joy-Cons, which those are pretty hardy. Yeah. And plus, they can do it together because you can have up to 4 people doing it at the same time. As an adult, I think it's a fun diversion. Your mileage may vary on the fact that, you know, it's not Photoshop, so, you know, you're going to be limited on options. I think that the two free things are good. Definitely this is the kind of game that, you know, if you're interested in it, download it for free and check out the pictures, but obviously you're going to want to buy all of them because the ones that you purchase have the cats and dinosaurs, which I didn't even mention. So, it's a really cool little piece of software, and the other thing to note is that, you know, the Switch is the perfect system for it, for the reasons that it, you know, it is a tablet, and it's also, you know, on the TV, and has the, you know, the motion controls and such. So, yeah, it's a good piece of software, and I do recommend it.
Awesome. Your other game to talk about, this one is an actual game called R-Type Dimensions EX, developed and published by Tozai Games, released November 28th on the Switch for $14.99. R-Type and R-Type 2, the legendary co-op space shooters, are now together on Nintendo Switch. Chris, tell us about it.
This one, well, I hate to spoil the ending, but I did request this one because I really, really wanted to play it because I am a fan of R-Type. So I'm not entirely sure what all systems R-Types have come out for over the years, but it's not a whole lot. I believe that the first game came out on the Master System, which is the copy I have, and the TurboGrafx-16, not the NES. And R-Type 2 actually came out... I know R-Type 2 came out on Game Boy Color, and that's how I played it. And then, you know, you had the Super R-Types and so on. But the original arcade R-Types are hard to come by in terms of, like, ports. So already getting both of the original classic ultra-hard shooters for $14.99 is a deal. I mean, that's pretty darn good. But what they've added... And done with these ports, holy crap, this is like next level, like reskinning, you know, remaking and otherwise embellishing on, you know, something that was already good. So one of the products that I always heap high praise upon is Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap, and how that remake was handled, I believe, by Nicholas. And the thing I love the most about it is that it is the exact game, and you push one button to make it, you know, to switch between the gorgeous painted, you know, remake of it and the original pixel perfect, you know, Master System game. This does that same thing. It actually has a one button push between a new mode, which is, it looks a little bit more hand drawn. You know, it has a really, really nice art style, and you can switch it right back to a pixel perfect representation of the original, but it does not stop there. So I'm going to try and remember all of these without actually loading up the game and reading the options menu to you. So they call them 2D and 3D mode, because 3D mode utilizes actual, you know, 3D polygon technology and stuff, and the 2D is, of course, the original 1987 and 89 games. But you can either... So in the classic mode, not only can you just, you know, put the game up on your screen and it's essentially pixel perfect, you can also stretch it to widescreen if you like, or do a mode where you are looking at the game on a virtual arcade cabinet. Ooh. that you can actually zoom in on or zoom out and actually watch the stick move as you're moving. And, you know, you can actually tilt the arcade cabinet to be the exact, you know, view of the screen that you want. And yeah, you can like do all of this at any point in the game. You don't have to like start a game in a certain mode and then tinker with it before you start. You can actually do any of this at any time. So yeah, the 2D has those modes. And then the new version has the ultra smooth HD graphics. You can actually do the same graphics, but actually make them pixelated so it looks a little bit more like a PlayStation 1 game. You can also do a retro 2.0, which is basically the same but doubles the pixels, so it looks a little bit more like maybe a PS2 game. And you can also set the camera angle to quote unquote crazy, which puts the camera at a sort of angle behind your ship, and you can actually see stuff like coming as you're firing at it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's super wild. And again, you can switch it anytime you like during the game. Okay, so then you have two-player mode, which in the classic R-Type game, you have two players simultaneous and the ships can crash into each other, which is always really, it's an interesting aspect, and it made for a very frustrating two-player experience because you can't just pile the ships on top of each other. Well, in this one, you have the option to do that or not do that. You actually can make the ships collision free, or you can, you know, keep it as classic. Let's see, what's the other one? There are a couple of more options. So the game now has either the original lives mode. So R-Type is an ultra hard game, and R-Type 2 is even harder. The way that the classic games and most of their ports have gone is that you have three lives with which to get through the stage, and then you get a game over and you have to start the stage over, even if you, you know, put in another credit. This isn't a game that you can just purchase your way through as, you know, what I call rich kid strats in arcade terms. You know, if you have the roll of quarters and, you know, multiple rolls of quarters, then you can eventually beat the game in most cases, but not R-Type. R-Type is a whole nother beast. So this game provides players who aren't into spending weeks upon weeks memorizing the entire game in order to get good enough to not die three times in every level. It gives you an infinite mode, which actually does allow you to simply lose lives until you win. So infinite mode not only gives you free lives, you know, right where you left off, exactly like, you know, a lot of arcade games do nowadays, and it actually will keep track of the amount of lives that you use in each level. And even if you, no matter how many lives you've actually used, whatever score you get at the end of the game can be applied to the leaderboard. It's just obviously the world leaders of this game are probably not going to have any deaths on file. But, you know, the game came out one day ago, so maybe you can get up there. So infinite mode not only does that, you know, it gives you the lives counter and lets you, like, continue. But because R-Type is a game where bosses are literally invincible unless you find the weak spot and then can get around to shooting it, which if you don't have any power-ups is typically really hard to do without just burning through all your lives. If you spend too long on a boss, they'll just run away. You can actually, yeah, you can, if you sit there and spend, you know, burn up 90 lives on a boss or whatever, after so much in-game time goes on, they quote unquote retreat. This doesn't affect the ending. You can actually still get, you know, the good ending, cause there is only one ending to R-Type, and, you know, it's still there. So this game, and of course the last thing, it, you know, just in case all of that won't sell, you know, doesn't sell the noobs, pressing the minus button, will actually simply power up your ship to full power.
Oh God.
Which in R-Type, so, you know, the gameplay of R-Type is basically collecting power-ups like Gradius style, because this is a shooter in the vein of Gradius and to a lesser extent Darius. And if you die, you lose that power-up, or, you know, if you're really powered up, then you might lose some aspects of the power-up, but, you know, until you actually get a game over, you might continue. Like, for instance, you always have your little companion piece, your force is what they call it, which is the piece that attaches to your ship and adds a second gun if you're, you know, if you're using it that way. But yeah, so, you know, you usually never lose that, but in this game, now you can just push the minus button and just fully power up and blast through that way.
Damn.
Makes for a very, very breezy playthrough. I actually played through both games in one day, using the most noobiest of noob options.
So proud of you.
Yeah, I know. But I've been playing R-Type for decades. I've had Super R-Type and the Game Boy game for at least, you know, since they were relatively new. And I've had a Master System for like 5 years, and I bought R-Type pretty early on. So I'm a fan of the series, and I think that the new additions are really awesome. I think the presentation is badass. And of course, if you want to strip all that away and play just the original arcade games exactly as they were released, then you can certainly do that. And all those options are open to you.
That sounds fantastic. So $15, what do you think? Do I even need to ask?
Yeah. No, I don't think you should get, no. Yeah, $15. I mean, that's definitely a great deal on these classic games. And I mean, you know, the Switch, I'm grateful to say, is not short on shooters. However, like, the R-Types do have a special legacy of being especially hard. They will throw screens full of enemies at you, and, I mean, you know, part of it is getting to learn the way that your ship interacts with the force piece, and then a lot of it is just learning how to survive, like, the onslaughts of enemies. So having a more accessible way of doing that makes this game a lot more fun and a lot less frustrating for people who, again, don't have the weeks on end to get into it. So they've taken R-Type and made it extremely accessible, and for that, I think this is definitely worth a purchase, even if you've played R-Type before and you were like, eh, it's not, you know, it's too hard and it's not that great. I think you should play this now and try this out. And at least, a last piece of advice for that, do play R-Type and R-Type 2 in their original forms, just so that you can see how much more badass R-Type 2 is versus the first game. Because in the reskinned version, they're virtually identical, because they remade them in the, you know, the same way with the same instruments for the soundtrack and stuff. But no, put them in retro mode and try them that way.
Awesome. Sounds good. I think you just sold me on this one.
Yeah, I really think if you like shoot 'em ups, that this is a great one to get into, and the remake is like perfect pretty much. I mean, I couldn't find a single complaint about it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, always good having you on chat. And do you have any final words before we send it back to me and Cole?
I don't know. Spray paint your cats.
All right, next game to talk about is called Energy Cycle Edge, developed and published by Sometimes You, releasing December 5th on Xbox One, PS4, Vita, and Switch for $4.99. Energy Cycle Edge is the sequel to the puzzle game Energy Cycle. Shocking, I know.
Imagine!
The main idea is the same. When you activate each cell in the game field, it changes the color of the cell and any adjacent cells in a straight line. Each cell switches between three different colors, and your task is to make them all match the same color. Good fucking luck.
My work here is done. This is a game, and yeah, that's really the long and short of it. The summary is.
It really is. It explains everything that you need to know, and it's one of those games where you might not understand it until you play it, mm-hmm. and then when you start playing it, you'll spend hours trying to figure the goddamn thing out.
And then once you do figure it out, you'll realize you're only on level 2, and there are still 42 more levels to go.
Yeah.
Because there are 44 levels.
How far did you get?
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm going to guess it's further than me.
I think I made it around 13.
You have definitely gotten further than me.
Yeah. And this is one of those things where, like, playing it legitimately is going to take you for goddamn ever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wait about 3 or 4 days, somebody will have a guide on YouTube and this will be a quick completion. But in its current state, oh God, please help. Because this isn't, if you played the original Energy Cycle, I actually didn't play the first Energy Cycle. I heard everybody swear up and down, and it was like a 15-minute completion.
Yeah, if you use the guide. Yeah.
Yeah. But I had a steep learning curve because I hadn't played the first one, and so it just like throws you in, and I'm sitting there going, why am I doing things? What is even happening here? Because you just have the orbs on the screen in a pattern, and there's no explanation for what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you just start randomly clicking shit and hoping you do something successful. Like, by the time I finally got the first puzzle, I was like, oh, I'm a dumb, because that's all there is. Did the first one let you rotate them? Was it, or is that new to this one?
That is new to this one.
Okay.
Where the first game was all 2D, just single plane. Here in the sequel, they add a third dimension of extra sides. And in the end, you'll be rotating entire cubes of lights that you have to somehow magically get all the same color.
Have you seen the screenshot of level 44?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wanted to cry. Just, I don't know who was the developer of this. Do we know?
Sometimes you
published it, but did they develop it as well?
Yes.
Who hurt them? Was it because of what I said about Metropolis? Because I'm sorry. I know I was a little harsh, but you didn't have to do this.
This is a brutally difficult game. If you're going into this blind, you're in for a trip, because it is difficult. If you can get it to click and everything starts moving right for you, you're going to have a good time with this. A lot of people are going to struggle with this game, and I'm one of them. I say that out of experience, because I will not be
defeated by this game. I might need to wait for a guide, but I will not be defeated.
I got the 15-minute achievement on level 2.
I still don't have that one.
Well, congratulations.
I let it sit, and I thought, boy, I must be close. I'm just going to go ahead and wait and let that, you know, achievement of shame pop. And it didn't, and I was like, well, I wasn't as close as I thought then.
Yeah.
But I refuse to be defeated by this game. I will get it all eventually, but I need to actually... It could be that the achievement hasn't popped, because I had some others not pop. I think I popped 2 or 3, and I need to do a reset on my console, because I've got several games that aren't popping achievements properly again. But maybe I have it. I just didn't. It didn't pop right. But for all intents and purposes, I let it sit. because I was like, no, I need a minute to look at this shit. Like, once it starts adding on the extra layers and you have multiple dimensions of orbs, just you click one and everything changes the colors and you're like, no, that's not what I fucking wanted. It was like 2 a.m. because the girls didn't have school and I was playing and I was just raging my ass off at glowing orbs on the screen.
Which is the way God intended.
Yeah, if I believed in a God, this would be his idea of hell for me. My husband is just sitting there going, can we just go to bed? What are you even doing? I was like, not until this fucking level dies.
You shut your whore mouth until I'm done.
If all of these orbs aren't orange, nobody's sleeping tonight.
So all said, $5 on this one. What do you think of it?
I do still give it a try. It's just fucking hard, though. And without a guide, it's kind of hard to recommend it for everybody. But if you like puzzle games and you want to actually rage and maybe break a controller over a $5 game, here's your chance.
See, I think this is the kind of game which is what we have a fuck it, why not rating for, because it's so cheap. But fuck it, just pick it up. If it clicks with your brain, awesome. You got an awesome game that you can check out and puzzle yourself and push your brain to the limits. If you don't like it, it was only $5 and you could probably find a guide and get an easy 1,000 out of it eventually.
Yep, I agree with that.
So fuck it, just pick it up. Why not?
Yay.
Yay. Hey, No Time for Games, thank you so much for the 100 biddies. You are awesome.
No Time is a lovely fella.
Very much so.
Thank you for being a lovely fellow, No Time.
We appreciate you. Hooray. Anyway, final game to talk about tonight is called On a Roll 3D, developed and published by Battenberg Software. It's releasing December 7th on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $479. Interesting price.
What?
$479.
They didn't even meme it. It could have been $469.
Could have been $420, brah.
Could have been. What is this? Okay.
On a Roll 3D is a fast-paced 3D platform game. Roll your way through 24 huge levels across 6 different themes and be prepared to take on spikes, mines, dynamite, conveyor belts, springs, switches, doors, bumpers, laser saws, fire, ice, water, electricity, trap doors, and much, much more. Cole, tell us about On a Roll 3D.
That all sounds so much scarier when you say it like that. I'm terrified now. This is a very Sonic, like old school Sonic game, but without Sonic. Instead, you have a little ball and you're just moving your way from level to level. Instead of rings, you're collecting stars. If you hit a spike or if an enemy bounces into you, you're going to lose your stars as your hit points. You cannot recollect those motherfuckers though. once they fly out, they're blinking, they're gone.
Yeah. On the bright side, you don't lose all of them.
No, you don't. And then there's more to get. There are achievements for collecting shit tons of stars. I think 500 is the one I'm closest to. Might have actually popped the 500. I think I did. But the ones you lose don't count against that. Like, the achievement keeps popping or keeps rolling. And there's actually achievement tracking in a game that costs $4.79.
Which, thank you, Battenberg, for including tracking. We appreciate you.
I don't know how to get these guys to tell everybody else they need to do this shit, but please for tell real. Everybody else they need to do this shit. that's a huge bonus in my book. Once you lose all of your stars, if you get hit on spikes and stuff too much while you're going across the little platforming levels, then you do actually start to lose your lives and you have to start the whole level over again rather than starting at a checkpoint. There are six different levels and each one has I just want to refer to them all as levels, but they're not. It's more like six chapters or six areas. And then each area has three levels and a boss. You can go whole hog and try to perfect each level. And if you're going to go for the completion, you're going to want to do that because you have to. Yeah. Which is fairly easy to do, all things considered. It's basically just don't get hit.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah, and just don't get wrecked. the boss fights, the first two are fine. Basically, there's just a big giant U bouncing around and you jump on it. And that's that. That's your boss fight. And it goes very quickly. The second two are stupid hard for no good reason. And frustrating. Like, there's just random things that happen. Like, oh, no, never mind. Here's some spikes. Fuck you. And you're like, wait, but I wasn't prepared for this by the first two bosses. Why are these things? So there's a bit of a sharp skill difficulty spike, if you will, at the end. difficulty spike there at the end that you kind of need to be prepared for. Especially, like I said, if you're going for the completion, there's an achievement for completing the fourth boss without taking a hit. Don't lose any stars. And then there's ones for completing everything perfectly and all that as well. So there's some challenge there if you want to challenge yourself. But if you just want to roll through it and just have fun platforming, which is how I played it, it's surprisingly tight as far as controls go. And that was not what I was expecting from this game at all. When you jump, it jumps like it's supposed to, and if you fuck up, it's your own fault. There was never an instant where I was like, oh, the ball rolled on its own, or oh, I jumped and it just fell. No, I fucked up. For a game of this price point, you think it's gonna fuck me. But it's really, if you mess up, it's all on you. And I was really impressed with that. It does get incredibly difficult. Some of the earlier areas that you go through, you're like, okay, I don't see the big deal. This is nothing. You're just rolling through loops. And you're like, this is fine. Every now and then there's an enemy and you bounce on it and that's that. The later levels, like, no, here's some steam. Here's some things that are going to bounce you back into spikes if you hit them. And here's, you have to go down this way and left over here. And then you've got to go back and hit this switch. And sometimes you have to take a block and put it on a switch. There are puzzle elements hidden inside this damn platformer for $4.79.
What? There's a lot to this game, is what we're saying.
There really is. I was so surprised by just, like, the more I played, how creative and in-depth it got, because that's definitely not what I was expecting when I watched the trailer of the first level.
Yeah, I think the one divisive thing that people are going to find about the game is going to be the visuals. It has a very 90s 3D style look to it, which, you know, I dig the visuals. I grew up watching things of that kind of style, so it doesn't really bother me, but I have seen people complain like, oh, this looks like a piece of shit just because of how it looks without actually playing the game.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Remember how you were taught not to judge a book by its cover?
Yeah. This is one of those instances. It was actually pretty funny because number one walked by while I was playing and she stops and she kind of backtracks and she goes, is that a Sonic knockoff? And I was like, not necessarily a knockoff, more of like an homage. Yeah. And I was like, it's more of an homage to it. Like, there's Sonic elements, but it's its own game. And then she keeps watching. She's like, I might download this. This is pretty cool. she was genuinely impressed. And she's a big Sonic fan. So, you know.
So a victory there.
Yeah, she's a, what is it, Generation Z? She didn't grow up with it, but she wasn't put off by the graphics. But there are definitely people who are just going to turn their nose up at that shit.
Yeah, because that's just what people do. We're here to tell you to look past the visuals if they're a turnoff for you and actually give the game a shot. For $4.79, I give this one an easy buy it. There's a lot of game to it. It's fun to play. It's not trying to be anything that it's not. It is just very simple, straight to the point. Here is a 3D platformer game. You're going to have fun. The end.
Yeah. Yep. I definitely agree. I can't believe I continued to talk about it for so long, given how short my notes on it are. Because it really is that simple, but I was just so surprised by how good and in-depth it was and responsive. You don't expect a $5 game to be that responsive.
Yeah.
So. I play $5 games. I expect to fall off, you know, without any control.
I expect a piece of shit for $5.
But I am
damn
pretty
it.
Happy.
Why are you giving me a quality game for $5? Exactly. But yeah, that is it for the reviews. That is it for this episode.
We survived another one.
We did. Hooray.
Yay.
Any final thoughts, final words? Wrap this up.
No, we survived another one. We're done. Yay.
Yay. Any final thoughts?
down.